That was the seventh segment of the year. Here's the seventh song, and of course, going down to number one songs of the year, of course. And seventh song, this song went to number one for 5 weeks in a row. Here's Cherry Suede at the end of the day off the Derek Shapiro Show soundtrack. Was at the end of the day, Cherry Suede, and of course, the number six segment of the year, okay, is former Senator Lincoln Chafee of Providence, Rhode Island. Well, of course, it was taped at Brown University, and here is former Senator Lincoln Chafee, sixth segment of the year.
Here at the former Senator Lincoln Chafee's office here at Brown University, and welcome to Lose Yourself with the Derek Shapiro Show. On www.derekshapiroshow.com. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Very well. Beautiful day out there. Spring is coming. That makes us happy.
Yes. Tell me, now you have a new book out. And the title of your new book is?
Against the Tide, How a Compliant Congress Empowered a Reckless President.
Really? Tell me, what's your main goal about this book, why you wanted this to come out now, and who do you want people to, you know, what audience do you want to read this book?
I think a lot of Americans and a lot of Rhode Islanders are saying, what happened? We handed this administration in the spring of 2001 a surplus, a great surplus, first time in my lifetime that the government was running surpluses, and we handed them a peaceful world. This was before September 11th, and the Cold War adversaries, the Germans and the Russians and the Japanese, the English, the Americans, were all getting along well. So we handed this administration surpluses in a peaceful world, relatively so. And what happened?
Mm-hmm.
We squandered both. We squandered the surpluses. We're now with gas prices exorbitantly high, with the economy very, very shaky. And all over the world is conflict. All over the world is conflict. And so that's what my book tries to examine, and particularly the role of Congress, because the Founding Fathers set up Congress to check and balance
right.
a rogue executive, a very, very strong executive. And why didn't we do our jobs in Congress?
Right. And why don't you think we did our jobs in Congress?
It's a complicated issue. Certainly September 11th was a big factor in that Americans were angry and very, very traumatized. And this administration was so skillful at tapping into the anger of the American people. And my fellow members of Congress kind of kowtowed to the power of the executive at this moment of crisis in our country instead of saying, wait a second, with all due respect, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, where's the evidence that Saddam is a threat? Where's the evidence that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction? Because there never was any.
Right.
A lot of talk, a lot of Colin Powell, and a lot of Condoleezza Rice and a lot of Vice President Cheney talking, but there was never any evidence. So we in Congress didn't do our jobs. A lot of it has to do with September 11th, but that's exactly what the Founding Fathers anticipated.
Right.
And they put up a Senate. They informed a Senate with six-year terms, so that two-thirds of us are not up at any given time. A third of us are running. And the Senate, particularly, was designed to ask the right questions. It's a tragedy, American tragedy, that we didn't do that.
And you were one of the few Republican senators that was opposed going into Iraq. What other Republican senators were there? Was it just you or just some other Republican senators at the time?
I was the only Republican senator to vote no, and a majority of Democrats voted to go into Iraq. A majority of Democrats, even. There were only 23 of us in the Senate that voted no.
Such as Hillary Clinton, too. She voted yes.
He voted yes. Senator Clinton voted yes. Senator Edwards voted yes. Senator Dodd, Senator Biden, all the people, Senator Daschle, these are all Democrats that were thinking ahead of possibly their own campaigns, and they made a tremendous error in judgment.
And what about Barack Obama? He voted no?
He wasn't in the Senate yet. He came in after after the vote in Iraq, but he gave a speech in opposition as a state senator in
right.
Illinois.
Right. And now you just recently came out to say that you're for Barack Obama, former Republican, of course, you being a former Republican, but now you're independent, I guess, right?
Yes, in Rhode Island, what it's called is unaffiliated voters, which is independent. I'm
right.
not affiliated with either Republican or Democrat anymore.
Is your main goal in the future to run for governor of Rhode Island?
I don't have a goal right now, Derek. I'm doing my job here at Brown University. The governor's race is up in 2010,
mm-hmm.
as we speak here in the spring of 2008. That's a long way away. So I do enjoy the political arena and do hope to get back into it. I'm not sure where yet, though.
And if you did run for governor, would you run as a Democrat, Republican, or independent?
I can't even go to take that step as to where I would run. I just haven't reached that decision yet as to whether I'd run or not.
And what was Senator Barack Obama's feeling about you supporting him, and have you talked to him on the phone recently?
Yes, so we served on two committees together in the Senate, on the Foreign Relations Committee and on the Environment and Public Works Committee, and you get to know each other better when you serve on committees together through the hearing process, and so I got to know him pretty well in the Senate, and then when I announced my support for him, he was very, very busy going from primary to primary to Virginia to Wisconsin. But we chatted, and he was gracious as always. I lived next door to his brother-in-law, the basketball coach here at Brown,
sure.
Craig Robinson, so we chatted about that a little bit. But I knew he was busy, and let him get on with his work.
Sure. And in addition to that, what was your fellow colleagues, the Republicans, in the Senate saying about to you, past the hallway, saying to you about you opposing the war at the time?
Well, they got to know that early in my career that I couldn't be intimidated and I'd make careful decisions as to how I was going to vote. And I had no doubt about the Iraq War vote. That was just, I felt so strongly that this country had just recovered from the Vietnam experience, the horrible experience that we'd had with Vietnam, and to rush into another quagmire. I was just adamant that this was a mistake, and my colleagues were of a different mind. I couldn't get through to them. It was very sad.
Now, let me ask you, of course you took your father's position as Senate, okay, but of course when he was alive, and I met him before a long time ago, of course, and do you think if he was alive during that vote, do you think he would have voted against the war as well?
Oh, absolutely. He served in World War II and in the Korean War, and as children growing up, we could never get him to talk about it. Mm-hmm. He never, Dad, what was it like? Did you shoot anybody? Normal kids question, mm-hmm. youngsters questions. He would never say a word about it. All he said was in Korea it was cold. That's mm-hmm. all we got. He said it was just freezing cold. And so war's very traumatizing experience, and we're seeing that with the veterans that are coming back from Iraq now, physically and mentally traumatized by that experience. So I know my father would have been asked the very good questions before going into Iraq, and the truth is that Saddam was not a threat. And I know my father, as a good lawyer also,
sure.
would have asked good questions and come to the conclusion that this was not a warranted war, an unnecessary war.